Time. And if you are stuck with me, take your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah, going through the book of Nehemiah. We're in the fifth chapter this evening, Nehemiah chapter 5. We did Ezra first. Nehemiah, you would think that Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, that would be chronological, but it is not. Esther comes in about the sixth chapter of Ezra, and that's where that falls chronologically. And Nehemiah is coming to finish off of the building of the walls are in disrepair, the gates are torn down, and he is working on squaring that away. Ezra restored worship, and that's the first place you ought to go, and the first thing you ought to do. Chapter 4, I gave this chapter, chapter 5, several titles. This chapter 4 talks about opposition from the outside. That never surprises me. When the government or somebody who is hostile to the gospel makes it difficult or says things, when I go out to the mailbox and I get a threatening letter, that doesn't surprise me. It just doesn't surprise me. What takes me by surprise is when those attacks come from within the church body. And chapter 5 is that way. Chapter 4 was the attack from Sanballat and Tobiah, from the unsaved folks, and we accept that. Pretty normal. They're unsaved people. They're doing what unsaved people do. But chapter 5, the attacks, the opposition, the sin is going to come from within. And that, if you're not careful, that's just really discouraging. When you get hurt or hit by another brother or sister in Christ, a lot of people were affected. We're going to go through chapter 5 this evening, and I hope that it'll be a help to you. Now let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing to those folks that have gathered, and that they would open their Bible and see you at work and understand you have a plan for redemption for the world. And this is a snapshot this evening of what you're doing at this particular time to make your name known in this particular place to the people that are around. And Father, I pray that we would be inspired to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And we'll praise you for what you do here in our midst and as we minister around the world. And we'll praise you for your grace in Christ's name. Amen. Reading in chapter 5, verse 1. Here's the trouble. And immediately they start crying. And there was a great cry. Not just a cry. There was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. They say, when mama ain't happy, there ain't nobody happy. And so here we are in chapter 5, verse 1, and there's trouble. And papa's not happy, and mama's not happy, and there's nobody happy. the work that is going on, and you can look at this and say, the work, the stress, produces the problem. Science is just not on your side. The work, Christian work, soul winning, bus ministry, bus kids, they reveal the problems in our own lives. They show us where we lack spiritually. The work, again, it is not the work that causes the problem. It is the sin that causes the problem. The work, the stress, simply reveals the problems that are already present in your life. But when things are going smoothly, we're good at putting frosting on top of the problems. And you look at it and say, what a beautiful cake. But down below, it's not. Several years ago, we had a men's cake baking competition, and the guys baked cakes. And they said, Pastor, we want you to cut the first cake. And I said, Listen, you know anything about me? The chocolate chips from last week. The kitchen is not a place that I enjoy. I came home last night about 10 o'clock, and I hadn't eaten breakfast yet. 10 p.m. And I hadn't eaten breakfast yet, lunch yet. That's a pretty normal day for me. I thought, you know, I probably should eat something, a little bit something before I go to bed. And I opened up the refrigerator. Miss Bishop had some leftovers in there. Oddly, yesterday on the calendar it was listed, fend for yourself. Fend for yourself. So I got home at 10 o'clock, and I popped open the fridge. I can do the microwave. Pop, top off, put the thing, put it in the microwave, and it was like, if I do this, then I got to dirty a dish. I got to wash it. And I got to wait 2 minutes for the microwave to get done. And about that fast, I convinced myself, I'm not going to do it. And so I took it back out of the microwave, put it back in, and put it away. Got a glass of milk, and I was good. The stress of life or the bumps in the road reveal our heart attitude. What we've got going on inside. Again, everything's smooth, everything's going good, it'd be easy for you to, again, just gloss that over. But you get bumped, you get pushed a little bit stress, then you get mad and you get angry. And we look at the other person and say, they're the cause. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ said, and whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. And we say, that not being there is the cause. No, that's an inconvenience. Inconvenience is not a cause. Not a reason to get upset. But people do. It is said, when the going gets tough, the spiritual temperament of the participants is revealed. That's a good quote for chapter 5. I'll just say that again. When the going gets tough, the spiritual temperament of the participants is revealed. Things are tough in Nehemiah. They're working all day. They're trying to provide for their families, so they're working on the walls and they're trying to make money and provide for their families. Husbands are trying to be a good husband to their wives and a good father to their children, and stress is there, and they're like working nonstop to provide free labor for the building of the walls and then construction labor to be able to provide for their families. I say that stress, if you say it is stress that caused me to break, to get angry, to lose my cool, science doesn't follow you, because it is an engineering truth, let's see if I'm right here, that stress reveals the weakness. The weakness is already there. The stress. So an engineer, they'll put things under a load and they'll keep increasing the load until they find out what causes it to break. The weakness is already in the structure. The stress didn't cause it. The stress just revealed it. So let's go to an understanding that. It's kind of by way of introduction to the chapter. They're crying. There's stress going on. What is the stress? And what has it revealed? Well, the stress is the building. But what does it reveal? Verse 2. For there were that said, we, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore, we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Food, you got to have it. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. Verse 4, there were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, that upon our lands and that upon our lands and vineyards. And now, verse 5, our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other man other men have our lands and our vineyards. Let's go back a little bit in review. 3%, Ezra, Nehemiah, they put out the call for workers. 3% of the people responded. This is the cream of the crop of people that want to serve the Lord. Remember when we went through that chapter that talked about who there were laborers? Sure. And there were people of means? Yeah, absolutely. There were administrators, and there were some slaves that went back because they had a heart to go back and be a part of the rebuilding of the temple and a rebuilding of the walls. This group has left the security of Babylon to be out there in front to set an example. They are selfless people desiring to serve the Lord, right? And so they get there, and they've got families, they've got to feed them. And I'd like to say in chapter 5 that part of the 3%, the people of money and means, said, hey, we got you covered. But that's not what happened. The people of money and means said, oh yeah, you need food for your family? I'll give you food. I'll give you food. I'll give you money for food with interest. They were charging, as I understand it, in verse 11, they were charging 12% interest for people to buy food. People said, hey, we've got, there's another group. Verse 4, we've got to pay our taxes. Their tax money's got to be due. Oh, you got to pay Uncle Sam. April 15th went by. I hope you took care of your taxes. I hope you did. Or file an extension and paid for them so you don't get hit with a big interest bill from the government. But hey, it's one thing to get a big interest bill from the government. These guys are getting a big interest bill from fellow believers. The rich people, the rich Jewish people, saw an opportunity to make money off of their fellow believers. Now, what do you think Nehemiah has to say about that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at the very next verse. And I, Nehemiah, was angry? No, very angry. When I heard their cry and these words, then I consulted with myself. It's always good to take a little time to think this through. And I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, interest. You're exacting usury, every one of his brother. Why do you think he's upset? Because it's contrary to God's word. They're not supposed to do that. But they did. They did. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Notice their response. They held their peace. They held their peace, verse 8 says, and found nothing to answer. Why? Because there was no excuse for what they were doing. What had the stress provided, had it caused them to all of a sudden say, oh, you know, we got money, and you need money, and you need food, and we have money, and we'll lend it to you. And no, it didn't cause them all of a sudden to be prideful and selfish. It just revealed in their heart that they were prideful and selfish, and they were willing to make a buck at the expense of their fellow believers, fellow workers that left all to come and serve the Lord. They're willing to take advantage of them. What a shameful thing. So when the people are crying, the women are crying, it reminds me of the book of Acts when the widows cried by reason of their neglect. And the apostle said, hey, let's come up with a plan to take care of this. If it were chapter 4, and it was Sanballat and Tobiah that said, you want money? You want money for food? We'll give you money for food. We're going to charge you 12% interest. I could have understood that. And you would have said, well, yeah, that's the world for you. But this is fellow believers charging, taking advantage of, causing them to have to mortgage their lands and their buildings and send their children into slavery so that they can be fed. This is wrong on multiple levels. It is wrong biblically. It is wrong morally. Yet they did it. Why did they do it? Did that, again, that stress did not cause this circumstance. That stress just revealed this deficiency of their heart. So Nehemiah, he goes from being a cupbearer, building leader, to preacher. And he's going to rebuke, and we're supposed to do that. A New Testament, Paul, in talking to Timothy, said, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Make it biblical, and Nehemiah is absolutely going to do that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine just for a moment that you would get to your place where you would say, without mercy, yeah, I'll give you money for food, mortgage your kids. Sell them into slavery. Sign me over the deed to your house. But do you think that goes on today? In church? In America? Yeah, I would say it probably does. Guilty? Saw opportunity and took advantage of a fellow brother or sister in Christ? Shame on you. Shame. And that's what Nehemiah is saying. Shame on you. How dare you do such a thing? And the people, the nobles and the rulers, had to drop their head. In shame. In shame. Sad. Sad. The confrontation we see in verse 6. Continuing down. Let's go to verse 9. And I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the approach of the heathen, our enemies? Sunday morning, the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the fact that we have a tendency to see this as an isolated event and not on the big timeline of world history. So where does this fall? And I'm trying to get you to see on every page of Scripture that God has a plan. And God's plan, that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That Abraham was supposed to be a light, and Joseph was supposed to be a light, and Jonah was supposed to be a light. And God says to us in Matthew chapter 5 that we are supposed to be light. And in Nehemiah chapter 5, can you see Nehemiah saying that you are acting just like the heathen? And when the heathen see what you're doing, the heathen are going to say, well, those Jewish people are no different than we are. Just out to make a buck at the expense of their fellow countrymen. Is that not what it says? In verse 9, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? Instead, they gave them a cause to say, those Christians at Lighthouse Baptist Church, yeah, they're no different than anybody else. Did you hear what so-and-so did? He took advantage of so-and-so. Took her money, took her car, took her property, took her house, took her stuff. They're no different than anybody else. Don't go there, boy. They'll just take you for everything you got. That's wrong. It is absolutely wrong. So we have, picking our Toledo friends tonight, walk up, gave him this card. Hey, while you're in town, if you have a problem, call us on the phone. People have come into town, fellow believers in Christ, and their vehicle breaks down. We fix it. We fix it. I call Ryan on the phone and say, hey, Ryan, we got some guests in town. They got a broken down car. And you go to Ryan, and he'll tell you that over the years, on that phone, I always thank him for taking my call. Because anytime I call him, he knows my ox is in a ditch. And oftentimes he'll respond, your ox in a ditch again, huh? And so I tell him, if you run into problems, your car breaks down, you call us. We're going to be your friend. We're going to help you get back on the road. If you get arrested and go to jail, we will not bond you out. But we will come visit you because we have a jail ministry, right? And everybody laughs. But we should not be using our position to take advantage of others. That's what they're doing. Because that's what the heathen do. That's not what children of light do. And we are to be the children of light, are we not? We are. So he confronts them. It is a measured response. Sin is to be confronted. The venue is public. It is measured, but it is done publicly in front of the assembly. And I'll just say this. While a minister ought not to strive, 1 Timothy, always looking to pick a fight, not a brawler, Paul said to Timothy, we should be willing to say, what you're doing is not right. Public rebuke. 1 Timothy, Paul said, them that sin, rebuke before all. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Apostle Paul talking to them said, and when you do it when you're all gathered together. That's pretty public. And so what Nehemiah is doing is consistent with Scripture. Their actions, a direct violation of Scripture. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. What is he referencing? Again, this is Old Testament Scripture. And God's ways haven't changed. And maybe they weren't taught. I doubt it. Maybe they'd forgotten. I doubt it. More possibly that they thought, the poor people don't know the Scripture. We know it's there. But finders, keepers, losers, weepers, right? We're in Deuteronomy chapter 23. I draw your attention to verse 19. Thou shalt not. What's that sound like? Sounds like one of the Ten Commandments, one of the big ten, right? Thou shalt not. Does this sound negotiable to you? Like the speed suggestion signs you see on Telegraph Road when you drive? Oh, that's a speed suggestion sign. It doesn't say speed suggestion. It says speed. Oh, come on now. It says speed. It doesn't say speed alternative. Speed limit. Thou shalt not lend upon usury interest to thy brother. There's nothing that is taken away from that scripture. Say, preacher, are you telling me that it is wrong for me to charge interest to anybody? Oh, no, 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 no. Just to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It's wrong. It's wrong. And somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, I need money. First thing I say, do I look like a guy whose wife would trust him with money? And everybody says, no. And you're right. I typically don't have anybody. You want some money? You got to go ask Mrs. Bishop. She's got it all. If I want money, I go to Mrs. Bishop. She's got it all. And so, but if I'm going to give somebody money, Mrs. Bishop and I are going to give somebody money, we tell them, this is a gift. This is not a loan. This is not to be repaid. The deacon's fund. That you give those gifts, the deacons administer it. When they give that out, they tell them, this is a gift. This is not a loan. Several years ago, I've shared this. Several years ago, a guy off the street came in and he said, Pastor Bishop, I need to borrow some money. And he goes, wait. And I went, we were out the front. I went running down to the side, and I'm running down. And he's like, wait. He's trying to catch up to me. And we get all the way out by Franconi Road. And I stop like this. I'm looking at the church sign, and he comes up behind me and says, what's the matter? I said, man, I thought they Somebody put Lighthouse Baptist Bank on the front. I said, we're not a bank. We don't own money. This is a church. And the guy was like, I think the preacher is nuts, which he would be right. He would be absolutely right. And you would probably attest to that. But the deacons don't loan money out of the funds that you've given with interest. They're gifts. And when they're given as gifts, which is what you intended. These guys were taking the money that God had given them, and they were charging their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ interest. Well, let's continue reading. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money. The verse is going to go on because we got this crowd in Nehemiah that's thinking, okay, so I can't. Technically, I can't charge interest for money. So I'll give them food, victuals, and I'll charge them interest on the food. And God said, no, you won't. No, it is not allowed. Usury of money, usury, no interest on food. Well, but it doesn't say, yes, it does, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Just don't do it. Now, verse 20. Now the stranger, that thou mayest, the guy that's not a Christian, the guy from out there, if you want to run a bank, absolutely run a bank. Charge interest. Hey, charge 33% if you want. Of the unsaved folks. The stranger, thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother, thou shalt not. It's just interesting. God said this twice, three times, four times, if you want to count the times that he reiterated. Because what? Again, the problems don't cause the weakness. The stress reveals that we've got a heart problem. And so God put this in there, that the Lord thy God may bless thee and all that thou settest thine hand to in the land, whether thou goest to possess it. God's going to take care of you. The question is, do you believe that? And you should. But we want to take action. Man, I want to take action today. I wish I had my ticket book. I was at, and it didn't affect me. I was going west on Franconia Road. I was at Van Dorn Street. There are three straight through lanes. I was in the first leftmost straight through lane. To my left is a left turn lane. As you know, when the lights change, the left turn light turns first. There are, 12 people lined up to go through the left turn lane, and the light turns green, and the first car doesn't move. Now, it's not even affecting me, but I want to beep. I want to beep my horn. I want to run up there and knock on the guy's window and say, stop texting. Stop it. You're not blocking my lane. My light's still red. The other way's gone. But he's still sitting there. Two lanes the other way, going on Van Dorn Street, northbound, and he's still sitting there. Now people in the left turn lane are starting to do the nice tap. Tap, 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 that, which is a polite way of saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, you sleepyhead kind of thing. And they didn't move. And so now people, five and six cars, there's no love taps anymore. It's, and all of a sudden, he's in a left turn lane. I told you that, right? Our light's still red. He turns right. Across one, two, three lanes of straight through traffic. And the lane that's waiting to turn right on red. And joins with the cars on the other side that are making a left turn. And it's like, right in front of me was a police car. And I'm like, now I want to go and tap on his window and say, what are you doing? He's probably going to Dunkin' Donuts or something. And so here's Nehemiah, and he's saying, what are you guys doing? This is wrong on an exponential level. You have crossed one, two, three, four lanes against the light. What are you thinking? Now here's the thing. It's easy for us to see that in other people's lives. It's more difficult for us to see that in the mirror. The Bible is a mirror to help us see ourselves. Are you taking advantage of somebody? And a fellow brother or sister in Christ? It's not right. It's just not. And it never will be right. And Nehemiah, verse 14 to the end of the chapter, says, I don't do that. I've never done that. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be governor, I in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even until the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that have been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken care of bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither brought we any lamb. All my servants were gathered thither into the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sort of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Nehemiah says, I don't operate that way, and I'm the leader, and you shouldn't either. No. Years ago, I just decided that I wasn't going to take advantage of people. So when a family comes into the church and they say, we've lost a loved one, how much do you charge for a funeral? So we don't charge for a funeral. How much do you charge to use the auditorium? Well, we don't charge to use the auditorium. Pastor, you going to do a wedding for us? Yeah, I'll do a wedding. I tell them right up front, don't pay me. This is my gift to you as a bride and groom. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't want to take advantage of people. And we shouldn't. And Nehemiah is saying, I don't take advantage of people. And you shouldn't. I just trusted God that he's going to supply my needs. And God has, through you. You've taken very, very good care of Mrs. Bishop and I. You enable us to be able to do that. And that's what Nehemiah is saying. I've been very well taken care of, and I don't have to do that. God's taking care of you. You don't have to do that. You should trust God. This is what I'm doing, verse 19. I thank God that he's going to bless me for my sacrifices, and you should not be taking interest from your fellow workers, laborers, and Christian folks. You should be letting God take care of you. Yeah, that's a powerful passage. Be selfless, be compassionate, bear one another's burdens. Live for self or live for others. The world lives for self. But as Christians, we should live for one another. Bear you one another's burdens. Father, thank you for this chapter. Powerful, powerful, powerful. I pray that we would not just see the driver going the wrong way, but we'd look in the mirror and say, are we? And pledge to do right. And to make it right. And to restore that we have taken. As they did in this chapter. And we'll praise you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your ability to care for us through it all. So we pray and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.